Okay, we're going to be on Daf Nun He.
Whoa, that's way ahead of us.
Yes, why am I jumping into Nun He?
I'm in Nun He. Let's go.
So I'm jumping to Daf Nun He to talk about Bezalel, because they got it to of Bezalel. I'm starting here. You can ask me after. I don't know what it is, right?
I already know this one. This is the one where Moshe is like, hey, Bezalel, I bet you can't
yes,
miss
so,
this one.
Spoiler.
And Moshe is like...
Okay, yes. So I want to talk about... I see that Ari Ginsburg, Ari Ginsburg spoke about it this morning, but I want
to
try to...
I've learned it already.
Okay, so I do want to try to understand that that Gemara, since, you know, we're ending the units of the building of the Mishkan. Okay. Good, so you can tell me that you that everything I said you said already. Great. Oh, really? Okay. So let's start from some Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay. So the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Hey, it's Nun Hey, I'm an Aleph. You're looking like in the middle of the page. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein Ma'amidin Parnas Alat Zibor, Elo Imkenim Lachin Bat Zibor. You do not appoint a leader unless you first consult with the leader. Shne'emar, what's the proof text? Re'u kara Hashem b'shem Bezalel. Because God calls Bezalel. And then Hashem says to Moshe, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Moshe, hagun alecha Bezalel. Moshe, is it all good? You want him? You want him as a leader? Amar lo, Moshe said, Ribono shel olam, God, im lefanecha hagun. You think he's a good leader? Lefanai lo kol shekein. Of course I want him as a leader. Amar lo, afal pichin. He says, no, I still want you to weigh in. Lech emor lehem, and ask the Jews. Halach v'amar lehem li'Yisrael. So he said to the Jews, Hagon aleichem Bezalel? You want Bezalel as a leader? Is he proper in your eyes? Amar lo, im lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ulefanecha hu hagun. God and Moshe wants Bezalel? Lefaneinu lo kol shekein. What, we shouldn't want him?
Where did Moshe ever say that he wanted?
Well, that's the implication when he goes to the Jewish people. Okay, that's line one. Line two. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Bezalel al shem chochmato nikra. Bezalel is called Bezalel because of his wisdom. Bisha'ash Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. When God said to Moshe, Lech emor lo leBezalel aseli mishkan aron vekelim. Build the mishkan, the aron, and the vessels. Halach Moshe v'afachlo v'amar lo ase aron vekelim u'mishkan. He said the opposite. Make the aron and then make the mishkan. Amar lo Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, Moshe, my teacher, please, min hago shel adam, shel olam, adam boneh bayit, v'achar kach machnis l'tocho kelim. When you build a house, first you build the house, and then you bring in the vessels. Vata omer asili aron v'chelim mishkan. What, you're telling me to build the aron first? What am I going to do with it? Kelim shani yosel, l'heichan achnisem, where am I supposed to put the kelim once I build them if I don't have the aron? Shema kach amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe God really told you. Asay mishkan aron v'chelim. Made the Mishkan and then the Kelim. Amar lo. He said, you're right. And Shema Bitzel El Hayita V'Yadata. Perhaps you were created in the shadow of God. And therefore you knew. That's point two. Point three. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Yodea Haya Bitzel El Litzaref Otiot. Shenivru Ba'en Shamayim Ba'aret. Bitzel El knew how to forge the letters together with which the world and with heaven and earth were created. K'tiv Hacha. It says here, "Vayimalei oto ruach Elohim," and he was filled with the Spirit of God. B'chokhma b'tuna uvidat uktiv hatam Hashem b'chokhma yasad aretz konen shemaim b'tuna uktiv b'da'ato tamot nivkiu. Yes. Okay. So these are the three statements about Bezalel that I want to analyze. Okay. I see that for some of you who went to Ginsburg's Parsha Shir today, you covered at least some of the ideas here. So I want to try to understand it. Okay, so questions I want to try to answer. First of all, individually, what do each of these lines mean? and second of all, what, if anything, do they have to do with each other? Right? Are these all adjacent simply because they talk about Bezalel? Or is there a conceptual link between them? Good. So it could just be very simply. Well, look, he's Ra'ui, and now let's explain why he's Ra'ui. Very
wait,
good.
So there's a thing that it does it the other way. Like it should explain why he's good first and then say
that. Very good. So then you might say, well, we should start the other direction, right? Very good. Okay. So that's what I want to take up. Okay. So We're going to try to move a little bit quickly. First, let's get some technicalities out of the way. So how does the assumption of this, the middle section here, okay, that Moshe originally told Bezalel, build the Aron and then the and the Kelim and then the Mishkan. And then Moshe, and then Bezalel said, no, it's the other way around.
Nunhei.
Yeah. Tosef just says, okay, well, let's first ground this. How do we know that this is true? Where do you even get the notion that God told him to do the Mishkan first? What's the problem? Where does the Gemara get the notion that Moshe said you should build the Aron first? Meaning from the Chumash. Chutz Chumash. That's how it starts off in Parsha Truma. Yeah, this is not a trick question. So Tosef said, okay, so how exactly do you know that Moshe, that God didn't say that? Like, where do you get this notion? In fact, that is what it says. Aron first. That's why the Gemara says it. Why isn't the Gemara now saying, no, God really said the opposite? The Yesh Lomar, the Parsha Titisaktiv, I should give you the source sheets. Why am I not doing that? I printed them for you. I'm losing my mind. Here we go. It is two pages. Okay. We're just starting. Yes. 1 second. Rega. Okay. Here's page one, and here's page two, which is basically Rav Kook. Rav Kook is
page two.
Yeah, sounds about right. That's page one. That's page two. Okay. So does it just said very simply. Because in Kitisa, meaning before the actual building of the Mishkan of Vayakal Pekudei, it says, Ol Moed Ved Aron Eidut, and that's where Chazal get the notion that at some point Moshe actually, and that God actually presented it in the way that Bezalel does it. Okay, that's a technical point. That's how they derive it. Others suggest alternatives. So, for example, so Tosfot says, despite the fact that Parshat Truma makes it sound like God told him to build the Aron and then the Mishkan, because in Kitisa it says, at Ol Moed Ved Aron, that is already indication that God had actually told Moshe the opposite. Shita Mikubet says, no, Bezer Enyan Lamdu Rabotenu, Zal Mipnei She, Beseder Reichuli Trumak Tuvim Akelim Kodmein, it's not a diuk in Kitisa. It's because in Vayakel, it's much simpler. In Vayakel and Pekudei, Bezalel builds the Mishkan first and then Kelim. They're not making a diuk. Chazal have a fundamental problem, which is Truma Tetzaveh. Says Aron and Mishkan. Vayakel says the opposite. Chazal look at it and say, God isn't wrong. And they just say, aha, God isn't wrong. It must be that God didn't say it that way. That's possibility one. Possibility two, which is very odd. I don't know why anyone would do this. But after Shav Moshe Rabbeinu Nasato, he vichlo aseder. Maybe Moshe was testing Bezalel.
Or he got confused because it's a simple
thing. Well, we'll come back to that. Marsha says, Yoter Nire Lefaresh. The Parshat Vayakel Kasamech, again, like the Shinim Gwetz, the Marsha said, what are you talking about? Again, the simple reason the Chazal knew that God must have actually said that the Mishkan precedes the Kelim is because that's what it says in Vayakel, that's what we do. Vayakel Pekudei, that's what we do. And we don't do it if it's wrong. God doesn't say something wrong. That's all. The Mishkan Aron, the Kelim, the Lohizker, Shah, Masiyana, Mishkan, Bezalel, Rakavi, Aron, the Chsivayas, Bezalel, Aron. The Midrash Binei, the Bezalel Yodeh, Lasoda Mishkan, Mechach, Aron, Vekelim, Vidok. And he says, Chazal had a second hint, which was that Bezalel's name is attached only to the Aron. So Chazal said, aha! The order is reversed. Bezalel built the Aron. That means that something about the Aron, the order of the Aron, Bezalel had insight into, and then they develop this story from there. Okay, so that's some technicalities of how did Chazal even get into this point. Okay, so now let's try to understand, again, as we're going to be going through, we're going to constantly be trying to understand two things. One is the individual statements here, and the second is, are these connected in a way that may be deeper than what Josh said? Josh may be right, that all it's doing is saying, listen, you should get a proper leader. Look, Bezalel's a proper leader, because look, he's so smart. Oh, he's just so smart, Mamish. The genius. A genius. But is there more to it? So, the Meiri, as much as, let's say, Josh is reductionist on this, the Meiri is even more reductionist.
What?
Yes.
No way.
Yes. The Meiri says, listen, V'chein v'derech klal, kol ha'mani gatzma b'rabanut, in general, anyone who wants to be a leader, e'efshar l'tkayim v'kach, it's really hard. V'fichach, ro'i l'alandam l'ashpil atzma neged Hashem v'neged amav. So you should lower yourself, humble yourself to the people, to God. U'mikomako, melech, onasi, shebedor, ro'i l'olahatzel imato alabriyot. But you should still balance it. A king should, there should be a certain level of fear or awe that the people have. Sholi yikalubo, so they don't denigrate him. Uvahanagato, and the way he acts. V'akol l'shem shamayim, you should balance it all for the sake of heaven. V'chein yizoher yachid o yechidim, shalom not parnes ala tzibor, elen kein et tzibor nimlachin bo. And you also shouldn't appoint a leader without the approval of the people, right? Because there's this balance between, on the one hand, him being humble, on the other hand, him being required to actually show authority. So in order to balance that, the best way to do that is to get people to agree. Because then, even though, yes, I may be an authority figure, you agreed, so like that balances the power. What is the connection of this to Bezalel? Derech Tzachut. What's Derech Tzachut? Derech Tzachut is like, and as a rhetorical flourish, we say, Amru Karashem B'Shem Bezalel. Right? So according to him, is this about Bezalel?
No.
Nah. This whole thing is about, you should have leaders who are good and humble, but also accomplish what they need. And you know, once we're talking about leaders, we're like, oh, let's talk about Bezalel. I mean, you know, Bezalel, that sounds like a good person story. We can tell a good story about Bezalel. Yes, he does this a lot, by the way. Derech Tzachut, which is like, it's an expression, it's rhetoric, it's a homily, it's a drasha. Yalla, don't worry about it too much. Exactly. Okay. What? Now, the Marsha, right now, most Mepharshim don't go like that. They're like, wait a second, this seems to be saying something profound about Bezalel, right? This is not just get a good leader. Oh, let me tell some story about some Tanakh figure and make up a bunch of things. Oh, Bezalel, you know, he beat Moshe at a debate. I mean, you know, this, that. Oh, he's great. Oh, good leader. What are you talking about? Like, that's how things work. So most of Mepharshim saying, no. There's a deep connection, yeah.
There's a separate story. You said that we're trying to, like, connect. What are we trying to connect here?
The three, right, there are three statements, right? One is, we don't appoint a leader without the approval of the people. And the example is Bezalel, that even though God and Moshe approved of him, you still needed the people to approve. The second is the story of Moshe telling Bezalel to build the Kalim and then the Mishkan, and Bezalel intuiting that God must have said the opposite. And the third is that Bezalel has the power to join together the letters that were used to create heaven and earth. Right? There's those three statements in a row.
How far does the Agadah go?
Long. It's about, I don't know how many lines is it. Sammy, please. Okay. So, but most of the Mepharshim try to actually connect them and say that this isn't just leadership, it's not just about Bezalel, but this discussion of leadership and the discussion of Bezalel are actually integrated lessons. And these, at least two, if not all three of these statements, are teaching us something together. And they shed light on each other. Okay? That's the approach of most of the Mepharshim. I think it's very plausible. Now, again, you could have said it very simplistically, like Josh, which admittedly is not as simplistic as the Meiri, which is, look, Bezalel is talented, and you need talented leaders. There you go. But most of the Mepharshim go farther. So I gave you a bunch of examples. Look at Marsha. Marsha says in 5, and I saw that Ray Ginsburg already did this morning, so anyone who's in Parsha, forgive me. Were any of you in that Ray Ginsburg Parsha? Yeah, that seems to be a pretty big job. Remember, everyone's involved. Kol Asher, Nidva, Lego, anyone. Yeah, it does seem to be everybody. The way Chazal understand it, and the way the symbol read the Pesukim is, it's a national project. I mean, nothing is ever everybody, but it's a national project. And it is. It's a national project, no?
Yes.
I mean, I understand. He's not the king, but he's a leader. You know? He's a leader. Okay. Now, maybe you'll say, oh, this shows you that this isn't just about the leader. It's about any position of power. Okay. So, look, Marsha. Mivuar al pimashamru perakamet de Sanhedrin. K'tiv. Vatzavet shoftichem. K'tiv vatzavetchem. Azara litzibor dayan aleihem. Vazara dayan tzibol ol tzibor. He says, first of all, we learn in Sanhedrin that there are two rules. One is that the tzibor should have a fear of their judges, and that the judges should tolerate the people. Right? There's this mutuality. What this means is people should have respect and awe of the leaders, but the leaders shouldn't impose that fear. Right? Rather, he should tolerate their antics, like all that was going on here before. Right? Those antics. Sha'amr Chazal, Avdud Ani Notin Lechem, and the Gemara has a very nice way of saying this in Horiot, which is when someone is appointed Rosh Hashiva, he says, you think I'm making you a leader? I'm not. Avdut ani notein lecha. Right? By making you a leader, I'm making you a slave. Right? That's what it means. You're a leader, you are a slave. Right? You are a slave to the people. You are. Velo sra'ra. Not what? Unless you're Putin, in which case, you're Putin. Kamasha gadav kol parnasha manek v'tzibor v'nachat. And that's why we talk. We praise leaders who lead the people calmly, with respect, and first with chelek. And then we support this from Bitzalel. How? Hagun alecha, the hainu. Re'eyatem im hagun alecha Bitzalel, hizayir b'chvodo l'kablo l'ani go aleihem. He says, okay, once you say that the key lesson is that leaders have to balance that yira that the people should have of them with them serving the people, that means that can you impose a leader from the top? It's not great. Even if they're the best leader, imposing them on the people shifts that balance. And therefore, the Gemara tells a story and he says, you know how I'm going to prove to you that a leader should have that balance? By saying that even if God himself wants someone to be the leader, you need the people's approval. You can't impose someone from on top without their approval because that shifts the balance towards awe, fear, repression.
Is that why Eliyahu didn't work that well?
It undermines them as citizens.
Yeah, exactly. Marsha. Right, and he says, right, and then he reads into it and he says, maybe what the Jews were saying was, God, we trust you to pick a leader for us that's not going to be oppressive. Right? And nevertheless, what does the Gemara say? Still, I'm asking your opinion. Why? Because there's two factors. Right? One is, you don't want to impose from the top. But the other is, you also need to show them respect. When someone's imposed from the top, there's the possibility that they will be oppressive. There's also the possibility that people won't respect them. And because of both of those points, you need the people to be involved in the process. So according to him, it does seem to be like they have an option. Now, the Marsha, though, does the Marsha yet explain the next two lines? No. Right? So it could just be that from Marsha, like Josh, he's like, look, he's a leader. They accepted him. He wasn't opposed. And by the way, he really was proper because, look, he's smart for these reasons. So we still haven't explained that part. We fleshed out a little bit what it means to have the acquiescence of the people, but we haven't yet answered that question. Okay, Pnei Yoshua, number six. I put two paragraphs here, okay? The first paragraph of the Pnei Yoshua is trying to get to the question of the order, right? Again, how do Chazal know that God actually said Mishkan and then Kalim? So he has two possibilities. One possibility is, I'll say it outside. He has two possibilities. One is that in general, the Gemara, there's a Midrashic trope that, right, the Midrash asks, let's say, why does the Torah sometimes say Moshe of Aaron, sometimes Aaron of Moshe? So what does the Gemara say? To show you that they're equal. Right, why does it switch around the order of the Benot Slavchad? To show you they're all equal. So Pnei Yeshua says possibility one is no, God never said specifically do it this way or that way. God sometimes said Aaron first, and then Caleb. Sometimes said Caleb first, and then said Aaron. To show you that, really, you can do whatever you want, and therefore Bezalel is coming in and saying, God said you can do whatever you want, and this is the logical way to do it. That's possibility one. Second possibility is that no, God actually did say Aaron first. He said Aaron first. But, and this is very important in terms of the Mishkan, right? The question really we should have been asking ourselves is, wait a second, if God didn't mean it, then why did he say it? Right? If God didn't mean that you build the Mishkan first, the Aaron first, why say Aaron first? So what does the Pnei Yehoshua say? You tell me, what's the reason? Because there's two questions. How do you practically build it? And what is the purpose? And Parsha Truma isn't telling you how to build it. It's telling you why you build it. Right? You build it for the Aaron. You build it for the Caleb. And Bezalel is the architect, and he's coming in and saying, this is how you do it. Now, according to this, God never said it. So the dialogue goes differently. What happened was that Moshe said, God said Aaron and Caleb. And then Bezalel says, but are you sure that's what he meant? Are you sure he didn't mean that that's the value? But practically, you should build the Mishkan first. I mean, that's how we do things as architects. And Moshe says, hey, maybe that is what God meant. Right? That's why you're so smart. Because even though God actually never said Mishkan and then Caleb, that is probably what he was getting at. Okay, that's his first point.
What was the point of the Maharshan again? Because is that like it's important to show the power of the people and that show that they're considered?
Yes.
That's it?
Yeah. Then he gets into a bit more of a formal reason. He says, or maybe that Moshe actually made a mistake. Maybe either he had a suffix, whether God was saying a dafka or not dafka. And only afterwards, when he saw Bezalel do it, it like clicked for him. And maybe in fact he waited till after Bezalel did it to realize that Bezalel kalayita, that it was right. Then he gets into the possibility that maybe this is about Malin Bakodesh, right? So he gets into very formal, explanations. Okay. The Tzlach gives what I think is a very interesting answer. The Tzlach says, you know what, maybe we're thinking about this wrong. And it goes like this. What's the critique that the Jews, that the Gemara puts in Bezalel's mouth? Where are you going to put the Caleb? The Tzlach says, totally different read. It goes like this. How long did the Jews probably think it would take to build the Mishkan and the Caleb? We don't know, right? But whatever, you're going to build it, you're done, move it in. If you've ever gone to a construction site, sometimes the things that are meant to be inside are outside for a little bit, right? Right, right. And, you know, you hope they don't get ruined, but sometimes you put it out for a little bit, right? You hope it doesn't get ruined. But that was because they thought that as soon as they finished building, they would inaugurate the Mishkan and put everything inside. What did God know that they did not know?
They had to wait.
Very good. That the Chanukah and Mishkan was several months later in Nisan. Right? That they finished Chanukah time. As Chazal understands it, they finished in Chanukah or so, right? They finished in Kislev. And they only inaugurated it in Nisan. Right? And therefore he says that basically what happened was that when God first said it to Moshe, right, that interpretation was under the assumption that it would take a short time. But when they actually got to building it, Hashem switched it to hint that this is going to be a long building process, and therefore you need to...
Interesting.
Okay?
Wait, that's why Hashem said it in the wrong order?
No, that's why when he got to the actual building, he said it in the right order. Right? Meaning when he actually appoints Bezalel and starts the process. Right? In Truma, that's in theory. Right? But once you got to the practice, God switched it and said, listen, get Bezalel, tell him to build a Mishkan. Why? Right? Why then do we see the switch? Because that's when God informs them of the timeline. And once you inform them the timeline, the practical implications come in. Okay. Now, does any of this answer our question what the connection is? Still no. Right? We still haven't gotten there. Okay. The Maram Shik, in a different way, focus just like the Tzlach. No, not the Tzlach. Like the... What did I put here? Okay, Yeshua, says that, again, the purpose of this whole thing is to show you the purpose of the Mishkan, right? Sof ma'aseba machshava tchila, that you talk, right? You think about it first. And the reason, again, that it starts off with the Kalim is to show you the purpose of the Mishkan, and you actually build it the way you practically do things. Okay. I'm going to skip over the Petach Inayim. It's fine. Now, what's the problem? The problem that I have with all of these answers, they're all very nice. They all give different angles. They all talk a little bit about leadership. They all explain a little bit what the wisdom is. They explain what the mistake is. They explain how we derive that God told Bezalel to do it, or they told Moshe to do it this way, even though the Torah says the opposite. Right? But none of them really explain, okay, but why is this set up the way it is? Right? Why are these three statements together? So again, maybe they all think what Josh says is, he talked about good leader. It gives you an example of good leader. It shows you why Bezalel is good, and that's it, right? This whole Gemara is really about Bezalel. My only problem with that is that if you half the Mefarshim that we just read said that what is the purpose of that first opening statement? It's not just Bezalel is a great leader. It's Bezalel is great because of a particular quality of leadership. Right? There has to be an acceptance from, right? There has to be a balance between authority, between acceptance, and therefore it's not enough for him to be imposed. Right? They learn profound things about the nature of leadership. And then you get to the second line of the Gemara, right, the second unit, and it has nothing to do with the first. It's Bezalel is great, but the way they said he was great in the first line was that he was great at balancing. Right, the authority and the understanding, right? And then you have a line that says, look how great he is. So you'd expect, based on how they set up that first line, that how is he great? Then he knew how to speak to people. He knew how to command their respect while still being nice. And then what does it do? He was good architecturally at figuring out how you balance pragmatism. I mean, that's very nice. But what does that have to do with the opening statement that picks Bezalel as a leader who can balance leadership traits, right? Not architectural traits, right? Not spiritual insight. The whole point of the first line is that that's not enough, right? There's this. So how does the first collect the second? So it couldn't be, as Josh would have it, sort of a random collection of, Bezalel was a smart leader. But if the first statement really is saying, no, leadership is about balancing authority and balancing respect. So, shouldn't the story you then tell about Bezalel reflect on that quality? Right? Yes, John.
Is it possible that the second part of the Gemara is explaining the reason of acceptance and the third one, the last one, is explaining the reason of respect?
Oh, good. So now Josh starts to think, okay, wait a second. Maybe there's something else here. So Josh says, what are you saying?
Moshe, you see that Moshe accepts him because of this, and so too many shall be accepting of him because of this. And then the reword talks about like how greedy is the reason why they would respect him.
Very good. So Josh says, look, maybe the people accept him because, hey, this is a pragmatic guy. He understands how to do things. You build a Mishkan, then you put things in. You know what? He understands us. Oh, and the awe? He can also combine the letters that heaven and earth were created with. So now Josh is starting to think holistically, and he's saying, right? We have one here that talks about Bezalel's pragmatism. Maybe that pragmatism is about that bottom-up aspect to leadership. And then it talks about how he magically plays with letters that God created the world. That's why he deserves that awe. Very good. right? So that's the way I would, that's the type of way I want to think about these agadotot, where you say, no, no, these are really connected conceptually. Yeah.
Could it be showcasing the different levels of respect here, where in the first one he earns the respect of the people, the second one he earns the respect of Moshe, and the third one he like proves the respect that he has from Hashem?
Good. So Simon says another thing is maybe, right, since we've talked about the fact that there's this top-down respect, you need bottom-up. So maybe what it's saying is, listen, point one, he has God's respect. Point two, he proves to Moshe that he thinks godly. And then, you know, number three is, you know,
no,
I'm sorry, other way. People, right? First is you always need people. But, you know, you also need sort of a quality control. Moshe, oh, and God. Okay, right? So now Josh has offered one holistic read, and Simon's offered a holistic read. And right now we're getting somewhere where we're saying, oh, these are not.
It's not a trait. It's just showing that he's earning the respect.
So I really started thinking about it in this way when I was last year when I was writing up Rabbi Price's drasha on Vayachkel. So I've mentioned to you, to some of you that right, weekly I adapt the Divrei Torah by an old Talmud Chacham in Toronto, Rabbi Alfred Price. So I'm gonna tease out first. I'm going to try to tease out first the structural point. Yeah.
I want to try to answer, like, why maybe it mentioned how he was skilled architecturally when he gained Moshe's respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody who knows, when you're dealing with leaders, you need to also know when your expertise is needed. So a leader.
Right, meaning what?
A leader
needs to know when his expertise is needed, and therefore...
This is like the only time when Bezalel speaks up, but...
Oh, interesting. Meaning, you know, he speaks up when he's needed, and otherwise he just leads. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell because we don't know when he talks otherwise. This is when the Gemara puts words in his mouth.
And that's...
I understand. No, I understand.
But that's not necessarily how you gain the people's respect. The way you gain people's respect is showing them like that you're actually dealing with other people. But how you gain the respect of other leaders is showing them that you speak when you are.
Maybe. Okay. So let me first. I'll tell you outside sort of the structural point I got from Ray Price. Then we'll see exactly how he takes it. Ray Price says, you know, works off the assumption that these three lines work together and they build, right? But Big Gadol, if I tease out his argument, we'll just see the way he actually applies it. Rabbi Price, or Avram Price, he was a Gadol in Toronto for a very long time, from the 30s to the 90s. He was born in 1900, he died in 1994, and he was like a leading rabbi in Toronto from the 30s till he died in 94.
Wow. There was a community in Toronto in the 1930s.
Yes, my wife's family has been in Toronto since the 19th century.
Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And your wife just left New York for change?
Others stayed.
Like my wife on both sides is Canadian for at least four generations.
Wow, that's fascinating. I don't know that Canadian Jewry went back so far.
Yes, it does. In fact, right, Toronto is one of the oldest Jewish communities in North America.
Wow.
It is the third city Erev in North America was built in Toronto. Well, okay, here's trivia. What was the first? What were the first four city Erevin?
Oh, was it
Mr. Erev? What are the first four?
Was one of them the shul that George Washington gave?
Nope.
To?
You would think, but no.
Really?
It's not. The first city Erev, city Erev in North America. Yes.
New York.
That was number two, and number four. Right. Meaning the first version of it in 1905 or something. The second in the 1950s. Nope. St. Louis in the 1860s. Whoa. 1860s, right after the Civil War, there was a community Erev built in St. Louis. There was two books written on it, one in favor of the Erev and one against. And they are still in Hebrew books. You can look them up. Rabbi Adam Mintz wrote his dissertation on the first four Erevin in North America. But the third one was Toronto in the 1920s.
Why did it take another 130 years to accomplish that?
Chicago is slow.
They started picking up in the 50s. Like, after the second New York Erev, that was when community Erevin started picking
wait,
up.
Wait, New York was going
like first then, what? St. Louis, New York, Toronto, New York.
Okay.
right? Like New York, I mean, they're different era. They're not the same era.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning they're different parts of Manhattan, right? These were two major undertakings. Yeah, Manhattan. Yeah. No, Manhattan. There was the one in the lower, right? The lower, right? The lower part of town, and then it moves up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so Sarai Price, Big Adol, has the following insight. Okay? It goes like this. First point, like everyone said, is that we learn that leadership is not just about being great. It's about being able to work with people, right? They need to be accepted by the people. Point two is that to be a leader, how do you get along with people? One of the keys is that your head is not bashamayim. It's down here. To be a tzaddik is not the same as being a leader, right? And how does the Gemara portray that? By contrasting Moshe and Bezalel. By saying, listen, Moshe, at least when it came to the Mishkan, he's thinking big picture. It's about the Aron, right? As we saw, it's about the purpose, right? Bezalel's like, I mean, this very nice Moshe, but I'm an architect. Like, I'm down here, right? That's how we do things, right? And what's the language of the Gemara? Lo yidark sholom. I mean, you're right in like a philosophical sense. That's just how the world works, right? So point one is to be a leader is to be accepted by the people. Point two is how do you get accepted by the people? You've got to think
like the people,
like practically, right? Down to earth. But that's not enough because what do you have to do? Right? Obviously, you're not just down with the people. What are you trying to do?
Bring the people to a higher place.
Right? You're trying to elevate the people from by being great, but being someone who understands people. And what is
understand
the...
Understand where they are. Understand how they need to get...
Good. And what so what does the Gemara call that? What's the third line in the Gemara? That Bezalel had the koach to combine the letters with which heaven and earth were created. So the way he reads it is, because once you understand earth, but you also understand heaven, right? A good leader is able to combine them, right? That's what he does. And that's, right, his fundamental organizing principle. Let's look at it inside. So I know it's pretty small. Yeah, I think it's a very nice piece. So I know this is very small. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm gonna pull it up a little bit bigger for myself. Sorry. I'm sure people do, but there's a limit to what I can to what I can do in one shear. Yes, of course. One second. I'm gonna make it a little bigger for myself. I just didn't want to. It's a very these drushot, if you've seen when I bring the books in, are printed on sort of very oddly large paper. So he writes as follows. So the Shash and Emre Moshe made Hakadosh Baruch Hu the Mishkan Mekalim, right? When he told Moshe build the Mishkan Kalim, Haven, who he understood that the purpose was the Kalim, right? Okay, as we've said. And I'm skipping around. Because the Kalim are the inner value of the Mishkan. So he understood that in a value level, they go first. But, Ulam Bezalel Yar Karov Bioter Laha Olam. Ula Darim Betocha. But Bezalel was closer to the people who, and the, to the world, and the people who live on earth. Vehetev Lahakir Etaluchot Bnei Adam. He understood how people work. He said he can't fix the inner spiritual world until like you deal with his body, right? He said this is group of people also. You don't start up here, right? With your kids, you don't start by giving them philosophy lessons. You start by training them in basic politeness, right? Before you explain them why it's important to be polite, you get them to say please, thank you, right? To not, right? You start, right? You do things practically, right? You gotta think, right? Down here, right? And that's what Bezalel said to Moshe. Zeshamar Bezalel Moshe, Atau merely Aron veKelim Mishkan? Kelim Shani Osele, Hechan Achnisei? Said, you're telling me the Kelim and then the Mishkan? Where am I supposed to put them, Klomar? Right? When it comes to people also, if you don't fix their bodies, you don't fix their actions, you don't think practically, you get them used, accustomed to it. So how am I supposed to embed them with like these deep, lofty philosophical ideas? There's an order to this. Right? Most people, you don't just give them the philosophy class, and boom, right? You teach them the ideas, and overnight, right? They're transformed, right? You show them how to act, and you educate them, and you slowly make their insides match their actions, right? You need to be practical, right? It's like the Chinuch says, right? Achareya piulot nimshachot levavot, right? The heart sometimes follows the actions, right? Things are much more down on earth. And he says, I mean, it's very nice what you're saying, but that doesn't work. It doesn't work in the Mishkan, it doesn't work in people. And that's what he says, skipping to the next paragraph, Zeo kavan Hashem Rabbi Tzalo Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu min hago shel olam. That's what he says. He doesn't say, you're wrong, Moshe. He says, that's not the way the world works. Min hago shel olam. He says, Adam bone bayit v'achkach kelim, klomar. He says, lefi shitat chavezekah she'incha karov l'shamayim. He says, you, Moshe, you're up in heaven. So great, in heaven, the kelim come first. That's fine. That's not how things work on planet Earth for normal people. You're not normal. You're great. You're amazing. And based on in minhago shel olam, right? Bezalel is deemed right. Right. He talks a little bit sort of quasi mystically here. And then Moshe says Bezalel el hayita klomar Moshe ech nuchach ladag Bezalel sigba sakat niflaa de kavana sheolte orkes samla. So then he says, you know what it means, right? He connects every detail. He says, why does he say, you're in the shadow of God? Because he said, that's the whole point. The key to spirituality is, to successful spirituality is, bitzel. It's not, illuminate the world, show them God, right? That's not how things work. Things work much more practically. God is in the shadows, right? We work gently. We work slowly, and Moshe realized that Bezalel was onto something. And then he said, you know what it means that Bezalel had the power to combine the letters with which they created heaven and earth? Klomar, it's true. Moshe is more spiritual, more heavenly. But it works for people who are totally heavenly. And their bodies don't stop their pure spirituality. But to combine heaven and earth, you needed a Bezalel. And that's the ethical lesson here. You don't appoint a leader till you ask the people. Klomar haparnas, the leader who minahel ruchani shel ha'am, he's the spiritual leader of the people. Uksheein min ha'ra'uy shaminahel yen namuch harbei min ha'am. Just like the leader can't be much lower than the people. Kach ina davar yafeh im manhiga ruchani hu harbei yoter gavua min ha'am. A successful leader also can't be way above the people. You can't have it without any comparison to him. If it's too great, it doesn't work. You need someone who can deal with the practicalities of people's spiritual lives, right, based on the way they actually are. Right, Chaim Angel likes making this point, and it's a whole share for another time, but I'll just throw it out there. That on the one hand, we know Moshe is, right? Moshe is Moshe. Yoshua is not, right? As the Gemara has it, Moshe is like the sun, Yoshua is like the moon. And when Yoshua was appointed, all this gain, and we're like, ugh, right? Like, oi, that we see this, right? Moshe is clearly much greater than Yoshua. And yet, when you read Sefer Yoshua, it's idyllic. How often do the Jews complain in Sefer Yoshua? Zero. They never complain. Even when they lose at Ai, they never complain. So our angel says, why? How is it possible that Yoshua is not as great as Moshe, and yet the Jews never complain? It's the most idyllic book in the world. What? And he said, in his proof is to his theory is, he says, well, the time you'd expect them to complain is after they lose at Ai. They don't complain. Why don't they complain? Nope, because Yeshua complains. The first thing that happens after the battle is Yeshua yells at God. This, what are you doing? You said that we were going to win. We lost. He says, you know why the Jews didn't have to complain? Because Moshe was up in heaven. So when some, right, he never complained to God, right? So when the Jews were complaining, they're like, oh, Moshe doesn't get it. He's up in heaven. Yeshua, they lost. They don't need to complain. Why should they complain? Yeshua, the second they lose, they see Yeshua yelling at God. God, what are you doing? And they're like, hey, this is a guy who understands us. Oh, okay. We don't have to complain, right? So is he as great? No. But is he a more successful leader? 100%. Read Moshe's right track record, right? Every step of the way, they're arguing with him. Yeshua is a, right, much more a man of the people. And there's something very powerful about that, right? That a leader is not the same as a tzaddik. But a leader is not the same as a tzaddik. Right? A tzaddik can be way above the people. A good, effective leader sometimes would be grounded. And that's what he argues is going on in this Gemara, right? That first, a leader must be accepted by the people. Because it's not just about being great, it's about being a leader. Point two, look, Bezalel understood people. Right, his argument to Moshe isn't, I have a new nevuah, I have this, that. Tada rabba. But instead, what is it? His argument to Moshe is, I mean, it's very nice in theory, but that's not how people work. Right? That's not how people work. We're not opening it yet. No, we're not opening it yet. Point three is, and that was his power, Litzareif b'em otiot shenivrim shamayim v'aretz, that because he was a man of the people, he was above them, but not way above them. He could elevate the people. And I think that's a very beautiful read of how these three things work together, which again, because it's Vayakob, because it's Pekudei, I wanted to like, I know it's Nunhei, you're not up to it, but I figure get some Parsha along the way. Okay, you can see that I'm only halfway through, but I'm not really. I only gave you one more source. I'll be honest that what I really wanted to do in the Shir was share Rabbi Price's idea. Rav Kook, as you can see, shortly. Yeah, sure. right, so Rav Kook, obviously, also like Rabbi Price in this sense, reads this holistically, not surprisingly. Right, not surprisingly. It's very, that's very Rav Kook. So again, so paragraph one, Rav Kook says, HaParnas, Av she'ikari yitronot tzarech she'eh b'malot p'nim yot, sha'av l'kulanu tarad alev k'dushat ha'masi. And he said, on the one hand, a leader must be obviously pure and spiritual, etc. But two lines down, Amnam gam ma'alot v'kishanon ha'moniyot tzarech sh'lo yachasru lo. He also needs practical skill, right? Because he has to lead people. Right, and then he develops this very poetically, and he goes through all the different wisdoms. Right? He says there are three types of wisdoms, therefore, that he needs to have. He needs to be a tzaddik. The two, he needs chachma, and the third is he needs practical know-how. Okay, in that order. Right, those are the importance. But if he is pragmatic first, and then he has chachma, and then he's spiritual, then his values will be completely thrown off, and everything will go into chaos. Okay. So then he says, so what is going on here? So when they say Hagun Alecha Bezalel, he says that this is the order. Right, this is how he reads it. That first they ask God, because God can attest to his holiness. Then they ask Moshe, because Moshe can attest to his wisdom. And then they ask the people, because that represents his ability practically to lead. Okay? Then, going into the next point, in terms of the story of the Mishkan. So not surprisingly, what does he think there? I'm just trying to sort of get the key lines here. Skip around. So again, right, he makes the point that, right, Moshe is focusing on the purpose, Bezalel is focusing on the practical. Um, Right. So this is very classic, right? He takes this very symbolically, and he says that there's two parts to spirituality. There's Chachma HaElyona, and there's Haregesh HaTivi. Right? There's divine knowledge and human feeling, natural intuition, right? And Moshe represents one model, right, where he prioritizes Chachma HaElyona, and Bezalel is the model of Haregesh HaTivi. And that was the, right, that was the leadership, that was needed here, right, was this ability to express spirituality in that second tier, right, in that intuition. And then, of course, the third one, he also says, right, talks about how Litzarifim Shamayim Varetz is that ability to synthesize the spiritual and the physical. So obviously he develops this, very extensively. I'm not gonna have time to get into it. But that, right, Rav Kook also, right, takes this idea that there is some sort of, development, right? This idea that there are different types of wisdoms, right? And then the Gemara goes to show how Bezalel has the relevant, wisdoms, right? And is able to synthesize spirituality and physicality. So he also sees this idea, as a development. You can read Rav Kook more inside. But again, Rav Kook, in a slightly different way, sees this, as a, development. And the end, if you're interested, I just gave you a little bit of a halachic point, which is, you know, once you talk about the importance of being a proper leader, you have to balance this with the fact that at least in certain situations, halachically, leadership is prioritized to the children of the previous leaders. So in Pesach, the post can try to figure out how you balance those two factors. Then on the one hand, clearly, to be a leader requires certain qualities. But on the other hand, there is an idea that under certain circumstances, you can have at least first dibs on being a leader by right of inheritance. So how do you balance that? So at the end, I just gave you a brief summary of some of the halachic issues. What? I don't know if that's why it is here. Now, some of the posts can suggest that Dafka, that's why the language here is Ein Memanin. That you don't appoint a new leader, right? That when you're appointing a new leader, the only thing that matters is qualifications. But if you're not appointing a new leader, so there are times when you don't need permission, you don't need the qualities in the same way. Obviously, everyone agrees that a not worthy leader can't be appointed at all, but a less worthy leader might be if they're inheriting it. Yeah, and exactly. This is part of the fact that the Yerusha of a son seems to be unique in the sense that it's continuous to the father. So those are the two points that I wanted to make. But like I said, I will be honest, that the real reason I wanted to give the shiur is because I really was so taken by Rabbi Price's holistic way of reading the sugya. I wanted to introduce you to that idea. I wanted to introduce you a little bit to Rabbi Price. You know, I've been working on these drushes for a year, so if I can share some with you, then great. But let us stop there.